Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. Picket sign, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me,
7, 4,
so
six,
you can
six.
See. Oh, what's going on?
Before we start, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk, but as usual, they had difficulties, and I want to confirm, Dr. Randy Short, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm on the phone. I called your other number, but they said that there was no scheduled program.
Right, yeah, there was some difficulty, and I'm having a problem reaching Miss Maggie.
Her phone is going
straight to voicemail. If you can reach her. Okay,
if not,
but
no, I can bring it. I can still bring it for you. So.
Yeah. Oh yes, sir. I know. We want to give her an opportunity to get on the phone so she can share her story. Okay, Brother Kareem, can you hear me?
Did you get the?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here.
Is Attorney Sweet on the call?
Oh no, I haven't called him yet. I'm just now being able to call. Blog Talk is having some issues, but it seems to be resolved just now. So I just wanted to make sure everyone was there and everyone can hear me. I'm going to attempt to get Attorney Sweet on the phone now. Okay, Brother Kareem, we're going to go ahead and open up. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I want to first apologize for the technical difficulties, but you know they always get us like once a month or so. So I guess this was the time. And tonight I would like to welcome everyone to Conscious Black Nation. And without further ado, a man who needs certainly no introduction, but so I'm going to present him, my dear brother, my friend, my right hand, Vice President, Nation Building Movement, my distinct honor in presenting to you Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen, and all praise is due to Allah. And as we always start, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of our divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, pardon me, I greet the listening audience, our panel, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum. And yes, we don't have time to waste. We're going to move forward with our program. And our topic tonight is the castration of Baby Ashton. I'm looking forward to having Sister Maggie Rose on to tell her story from her own mouth. We do, however, at this point, I understand, have Dr. Randy Short on the line.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, brother. How are you doing?
Hello. Oh, I'm blessed.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. Is this Attorney Sweet?
Yes.
Yes, sir. We were calling you for the program. I don't know if we got Maggie on yet. Is she available?
She's at the hospital. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's at the hospital.
Oh, okay. Is the baby okay?
Yeah. She was driving back to Memphis, had a wreck.
Oh my God! Oh my Lord!
Nothing else is
okay.
I didn't want to tell it. There's no, this young lady. No more tragedy can befall her. I mean, she's getting them all in one big swoop. She just called me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Okay, Attorney Sweet.
Yeah,
okay, listen, we are on the air, so we don't need to say anything else. We're on the air, so let's just talk later
and. Yeah, well, I'm traveling. I had to go to New Orleans tonight for a hearing tomorrow. That's why I was traveling. I couldn't do it. That's why I was trying to do it. But she just called me. She had planned to be on. She had a wreck. I said, oh, my God, there's nothing else that can follow you. So she was waiting on the ambulance.
Yes, sir.
She and the kids and her sister.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
Yeah,
since we are live on the air, is there anything you want to say before I let you go?
Just pray for her. She's just having it tough. She's stressed out. She was in between her family's house and going back to Memphis. And when she called me, I said, oh, my God. So she couldn't make it. I said,
I
told her not to worry about it. She was all worried about it. She said, I'm supposed to be. I said, well, you can't be. So she's
right,
just having
right.
I mean, I hadn't seen anybody have as much tragedy at one time as this young lady has, but that's what happened with her disease.
Yes, sir.
She's in. She called me about 30 minutes ago. She was waiting on the ambulance. So.
Okay.
She's having just so much trauma. I mean, just so much tragedy at one time. All right.
Okay,
but
well, what I'll do, Attorney Sweet, I'll get her PayPal information from you later, and we'll just try to do what we can for her on this end, and then we'll have her back
I think she's a little stressed out because she was at her family's and she was going back to Memphis, and she was on one of those roads coming out of the Delta and had a wreck. So she's been traveling in that little car back and forth between her family and the hospital and whatever, and she just had a tragedy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't.
She didn't call.
I told her not to worry about it. She was all concerned because she was supposed to be with you all tonight. And I told her just take care of herself. Don't worry about it. But we'll call Dr. Short. I have her call Dr. Short tomorrow. But yeah, she had a bad wreck. She broke her arm.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's just I've never seen. It's just befalling her. I mean, I think she's young and she has a lot on her, and just traveling back and forth between her family and Memphis. I think it's just gotten to her a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So.
Okay.
Huh?
Well, we're gonna let you go, Attorney Sweet, and we're gonna talk to Dr. Randy Short a little bit. But thank you, and let her know that we are praying for her.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Wow, that is a first, and that is the worst that I've ever heard. So, Brother Kareem, Dr. Short is here. He's very abreast of the case. He has a lot of details, so you can interview him about the case, and maybe we can reschedule Ms. Rose later. So, Dr. Short, are you prepared to represent Maggie and Attorney Sweet on this issue?
Yes, I've been deputized to do that. Therefore, I am prepared.
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise to Allah. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that and very, very saddened to hear of the circumstances befalling our sister during this time. We still have to remember, though, and I know how this may sound to some, that nothing, absolutely nothing happens without God's permission. But that's why we're going to carry forward to do the best we can to, as you say, represent her. And also, my theme for this tonight is never again. You know, we don't want these type of things happening. Now, as always, Dr. Short, I'd like for you to introduce yourself, you know, give the audience some information about yourself, you know, before we go any further into our interview.
Well, I'll be in brief, very simply. My name is Minister, that we often use now, Minister Dr. Randy Short. I'm with the Black Autonomy Community Network under the auspices of Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. I am a human rights defender. I'm also a missionary affiliated with the African Orthodox Church, which was started by Bishop McGuire and Marcus Garvey. In this capacity, I'm serving as an advocate and public relations activist on behalf of Baby Ash and his mother, Maggie, on behalf of Attorney Dennis Sweet III, based in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, as always, I mean, I, here on Conscious Black Nation, I always lay some groundwork, usually out of scripture. I'm going to be very brief. And what I have here, very quickly, comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 5 through 6. And it reads, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck, that he would drown in the depth of the sea." And then Matthew 25, yes, sir, verse 40.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, that's right. I'm just saying that's right. Read it.
Yes, sir. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And very quickly, from the Quran, Surah or chapter 2, ayah verse 49, where it states, And when we delivered you from Pharaoh's people, who subjected you to severe torment, killing your sons and sparing your women. And in this there was a great trial from your Lord. And then, also from the Quran, Surah chapter 7, ayat of verse 127. And the chiefs of Pharaoh's people said, Wilt thou leave Moses and his people to make mischief in the land and forsake thee, thy God? He said, We will slay their sons and spare their women, and children be a dominant over them. So, just laying, using that to lay a base, I have my questions geared a particular way, but we're going to move forward. So, Minister or Dr. Short, the first thing, if you would share with us, if you would give us just some background on Miss Maggie Rhodes and her family, you know, I mean, just so we can kind of get an idea of, you know, who we're talking about.
Maggie Rhodes comes from a very religious, tight-knit family from the Mississippi Delta. I believe she's from Greenville, city of Greenville in the Delta. Her mother died when she was young, but she's raised very close to her family. When she finished her initial education, she began working. She's a very hard worker, committed person. She goes to church, comes from a family of community activists. She went to Memphis to find better employment. She's in her middle 30s, I believe. She's got three children. She's not married. She's always had jobs with good pay and decent responsibility, United Food, UPS. She's never been without a job. So this is a woman who's very responsible, very active in her church, loved by her family. And she has two other children, one child that has a heart ailment, who needed open-heart surgery, so that child is sick. She presently, for the first time in her, I guess, post-late teen life, does not have a job, doesn't have a place to live because she got fired because the people did not work with her to provide essential life-saving care to her two very ill children, one child ill due to a heart defect, and another child, Ashton, who's now about 6 months, is ill due to a castration.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I myself, in researching this, listened to an interview that she did where she talked about how, as you just said, they wouldn't work with her. I mean, she had to take her child to the hospital. She was, quote-unquote, during the probationary period of this particular job, and then they terminated her. I mean,
sure.
That shows no caring, no mercy whatsoever. But I'm not going to get into that aspect just yet.
And it shows something else in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else that's hidden that's below the surface. Anybody that likes Tom Cruise has seen the movie The Firm, which is down in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Remember, he goes to the law firm, and he finds out how everything's interconnected, and when you get in trouble with one person, you're in trouble with everybody, and they're looking to set you up no matter what you do. So you can't be good because they're against good. So doing good gets you bad. Doing bad is the only way to make things go good. That's the story, is it not? Just like Tom Cruise in the film, trying to do everything the right way and be a good person, when she took her son to be circumcised at 3 months, which is possible, nothing wrong with waiting until 3 months or even a year, when she took her son and when that operation took place and she came back home, when she went and she challenged that white authority, that white power authority structure, and that medical realm, they have blacklisted her and her children for medical care, and you better believe the hundreds of millions of dollars that are tied up in insurance and in doing all sorts of medical procedures down in Memphis, that her employers are more than likely, if they have insurance, they wouldn't want to have one of their employees to send another one of their white croquet buddies or golf buddies with the ugly plaid jackets that they do their little sports and sip mint juleps with. Am I correct? Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, you are.
She's found no mercy from anywhere. No churches, no Negro politicians, no Masons, nobody except for her family. She can get help in Mississippi, but she's scorned in Memphis. So, in fact, had she just accepted her son's penis being cut off and thrown away, she'd have a job now. But when she went and tape recorded them, she got out of line. That's too much common sense for a Delta nigger, pardon my language, to have. And you know behind the nigger there was that gender B word. So she's being punished for being a black woman that wasn't going to take it. They're happy. They honor Rosa Parks once she's in the rotunda. But most people don't know off of 20th Street in D.C. she had a place to hide because they were going to kill her. They love Mandela now he's dead, but for years wanted to kill him. Because she stood up like one of the people of old, they're now against her. And even when they did what they did, when they castrated Ashton, when they told her to take him home and not to check for 5 days, you and I both know, and I worked in the media, run by a whole bunch of Zionists, the way that they would have run that story, because advertisement is bought by the clinics, it would have been a vicious, castrating black sapphire Jezebel, angry at the baby daddy, mutilated the son. And she deserves not the book, but the Library of Congress thrown at her and all the other black women that aren't sterilized and getting abortions like they're supposed to. Let's be real. This is what was supposed to be.
Right. That's right. You're absolutely correct. And on that note, now, and for those who are listening now, this information is going to be, I'm sure, graphic. The next question I have for you is, if you would tell us exactly what happened with baby Ashton, I mean, you know, a timeline, if you will.
I will do exactly as best I can where I have a timeline. I want to say to everyone that Attorney Sweet has a half dozen or more pro bono cases, and Maggie, as you can see, is usually under a lot of stress. But as best I can recall the facts, I will interpret honestly and directly what I know to be the case, is that she went to a health provision organization called Christ Community Health Services Avenue in Memphis, Tennessee, on August 14, 2013, with her three-month-old baby named Ashton Rhodes. She went late in the operating hours of that clinic that closes about 6 o'clock, so maybe about 3 p.m., she's estimated time she arrived, and she went for circumcision. She was not invited in to watch the procedure. Behind the closed doors, she heard her baby screaming. She tried, after maybe a few minutes of hearing her baby cry, came and knocked on the door and asked to come in. She was ignored. She banged louder. They eventually told her she wouldn't be welcome to come in and sit down, so she waited another hour or two. After all the screaming and crying, the baby still crying and screaming, the baby was given to her wrapped up. She was told the surgery was successful and not to open the bandages for 4 to 5 days. Maggie Rhodes was there with her sister, and the baby continued to cry. Once they took the baby home, Ashton kept crying and screaming. So the aunt said, you know, I want to see what's up. So she looked in the bandages, saw just oodles and oodles, puddles of blood everywhere, penis. She went and said to her sister, your baby has no penis. She said, your daughter says, no, he has none. It's not there. She went in to see for herself, and they were so upset. And because the clinic had been closed, they rushed to the nearest hospital to try to stem the blood flow and try to get something done for the baby. The following morning, on the 15th, Maggie went to the clinic with her sister to ask what had happened. She tape-recorded them, or not tape-recorded, she used her phone to record the conversation. The people initially asked why she was there, and she said, you know, something's wrong with my child doesn't have this. And once they realized, of course, why wouldn't a mother know the penis is missing, to show you the arrogance of these people. One of the doctors, a Chinese doctor, Dr. Liu, I believe a woman, if not, it's a man, one of the two, it's a Chinese person, and a white doctor, basically said they could do some regenerative surgery or something, and a mistake had been made, and they were so sorry, and they would work with her and just give them some time. And she says, why didn't you guys tell me something, and whatever. They were sort of sharp, like, how dare her question them. They made some agreement for her to come back, and at a certain point, she found out that they had essentially not even really filed proper papers on what actually happened. The penis was thrown away, and they really couldn't do anything for her or for Ashton, who's the victim. At that point, weeks after this had happened, she sought out Attorney Sweet. And you have to understand, in Tennessee and throughout the solid South, to prevent what they call frivolous malpractice lawsuits, they put you through a lot of rigmarole to sue. So the fact that the baby's penis is missing and the fact that they can prove where it happened, that's not enough for them to file a suit right away. So they're going through the labyrinth or the bureaucratic process of proving that it happened, getting all the paperwork. Even in this, the Christ Community Health Services Clinic, which isn't one, but they have as many as 11 clinics in Memphis, they have refused to give Maggie the paperwork regarding Ashton, even though it's been paid for and it's her lawful right to have. They've stonewalled. So Attorney Sweet and Maggie have got to go through all the state requirements in Tennessee before they can sue. And you need to understand, Maggie, between that time, lost her job, lost where she's living. It's between Memphis and Greenville, trying to take care of her two sick children. She nearly lost her car. Money had to be raised to keep it from being repossessed. And this is where we stand as the process that they have to wait for about 60 days before they can go further to fight for legal redress for Ashton. By the way, there's no sort of some support or financial anything for Maggie because she's not the victim. She cannot sue. Everything has to be done on behalf of the boy. So she doesn't have the right to ask for damages for her housing or for her car or for her job or for what it's doing to the other child. Now, I mentioned she has another child that's sick that should be, if I'm correct, one child that may be in an ICU pediatric unit as I speak to you. She didn't run to get a lawyer. She waited all the way into almost mid to late October before she decided. So the lie is that people run to get lawyers to sue to get rich. This woman tried to work with these people to set it right. She didn't want these problems, but they had no intentions of making it right. If you go and you look up the Christ Community Health Services, you'll find out that they have one Google review, and a woman describes being treated more or less like an animal while getting dental services. Something else people may not be aware of, the Planned Parenthood, I call them Planned Genocide, has given close to $500,000 to the Christ Community Health Services starting in 2012. This is the kind of thing that Margaret Sanger, one of the most wicked and racist, nastiest white women to ever crawl out of a cave, this is her dream. So a castration, when you got Planned Parenthood money, the same people who abort almost 200,000 black babies every year, the same Planned Parenthood that pushes Depo Provera, that is killing our women with AIDS and osteoporosis, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, lupus, all these things come from Depo Provera that Planned Parenthood pushes, and they even push it in Africa. She went to a place thinking because she heard the name Christ that she'd find righteous people, and yet they get funding from the atheistic group called Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger was a lesbian, was a drug user, was a racist, was a Hitler sympathizer, and she hated black women. They were called human weeds in her book called The Pivot of Civilization. So I am not surprised our sister's son was victimized in a place that looked like it was a clinic and it was a butcher shop, the same way the Nazis told folks they were going to get a shower and they got gassed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And before we move any further, I want to share something. It's from the book, The Fall of America, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's chapter 5. It's on page 28 for those who have the book. If you don't, I suggest you get the book. And it's entitled, Under the Shadow of Death. We, the black lost found of our people here in America, live under the shadow of death by way of cowardly enemies. Every one of us, cowardly enemies, seek our death one way or another. The cowardly enemies will not fight you as a brave man would fight you if they think that you would fight back. They will steal on you when you least expect an attack from them. We live under the shadow of death. We fled from the cowardly enemy devils of the South, seeking refuge in the same cowardly enemy's brother in the North. The enemy devils of the South followed us to the North to see that his brother of the North does not treat us any better than they did in the South. They seek police jobs so that they can beat and kill us who are trying to escape. They seek to kill us or get us killed at any price. They do not care about our loyalty to them. In their hearts, there is death for us, the black man in America. Today they hold our promises to you only to deceive you. They know that Allah God is here offering to see us in heaven at once. And since hell is their appointed place, they are trying to get us to go to hell with them on false promises. I have told you, believe it or let it alone, we live under the shadow of death. Now, to move forward in this, because we are here talking about the castration of baby Ashton, and what I want to ask you is this. Now, this procedure, circumcision, I mean, that's what was supposed to be taking place.
Well, we're supposed to have freedom in America. We're supposed to have justice in America. We're supposed to have family values in America. A lot of things we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have a real black president. So I just hope that we stop going with what's supposed to and look at what actually is. And those were beautiful words by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank God for the revelation that he shared with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And all praise is due to Allah, because that incidents like this, as tragic as they are, they drive home the point of what you just said. There are a lot of things that we're supposed to have. However, we have to look at the reality of what is actually taking place. We have to look at that reality and not be lulled to sleep. I mean, I'm still hearing the term post-racial. I don't know what that is.
You mean post-black, we won't be here anymore. That's what it's hinting
at. Yes, sir. That's right. Now, the question I wanted to ask you is this. Now, this procedure, now how common and how necessary and how safe is this procedure?
The procedure isn't a life or death one for someone to have their religious reasons for circumcision, and perhaps at a point where there wasn't a lot of water for people to wash, then perhaps mm-hmm. circumcision would be a way to keep that part of the body clean. Anywhere from half to 60% of the children in the United States get circumcised. It is not uncommon for there to be botched circumcisions, but this was a castration. A circumcision
right.
is simply removing skin, foreskin from the prepuce of the penis. It takes 15 to 20 minutes. It's done in all sorts of societies, both very advanced technologically and those not so advanced. The fact that this boy was kept for over 3 hours suggests something else took place, and the fact that he was castrated, as you look, I have the picture in my phone. Don't let any of these devils tell you it was a botched circumcision. Clarence Thomas had a botched circumcision, which causes him to have a larger tip of his penis, but a castration, which is what this boy had, it's cut
yes.
down to the bone, down to the pubic bone. I have the photo. That's not a circumcision. That is a castration. And these devils minimalize the crime committed against this black boy and this black baby and this black mother. And in reality, they'd like to cut all of ours off. They call it a botched circumcision to make it seem as if Maggie and Sweet and all the rest of us are just Negroes complaining too much. Now, let them cut off a Zionist or a wasp in a high family. Cut off their penis. And see, won't the laws change so you could sue within 24 hours?
Yes, sir. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Now,
down to the
again,
bone.
How often does this happen?
It happens enough for there to be cases where children die or are injured. I was talking with a dear friend. You may know the family name. It's King. I was talking to Daddy King's oldest granddaughter, Alveda King. And mm-hmm. it's not uncommon for black women to take their boys and their penises to be cut off at that age. I was talking with a gentleman who's in the state of Kansas. He was castrated when he was 6 months old in 1980. It happens. We need to remember something. I want to say it to you like this.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, my brother, at least 80,000 African Americans die due to inappropriate, lack, or misdiagnosed health care. Every year, 80,000 is the low-end number. Let's round it up and say 100,000, which means at the end of 10 years, they've killed a million of us. If they'll kill adults with good insurance to the professionals, what do you think they do to a little baby whose mother's a young woman that doesn't know her way around? Why not? I mean, at least they're still alive if they cut off the penis or damage it versus killing an adult who might be able to have a family that could sue. They do human experimentation all over this country, organ harvesting. They're taking our children. I want y'all to have Dorothy Dunning. They've given a Jewish family two black kids so they can make a living off of them, giving them $4,000 a month, claiming the kids are retarded with special needs. This is the history going back to Dr. Sims and coming up through the Tuskegee experiment and the Grady Clinic experiment and all the other experiments. The man who created or helped spread AIDS to Congo killed black children with polio viruses in Boston and in New York. They've been doing this since the beginning of time. There may not be a real Dr. Yacoub, but metaphorically speaking, he sure seems to be living in the United States where I am.
Come on, teach, bro. That's real. I mean, exactly. What's going on now actually bears witness.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, I'm a Christian, and I say it does.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely. I'm going to again, I want to thank you for joining us. I mean, for real, because we're going to get deeper into this. Queen Aziza, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I had to come off of mute. Yes, sir, I'm here.
No, I understand. Right now, what I want to do is open up the lines. Do we have any questions, comments out there, chat room?
Can I give them a number for – I want to give them an address and a PayPal because this sister needs money. You know, the devil makes you poor and then requires you to have money to fight him. I mean, what kind of animal are we dealing with that would do that? Take her baby, promise him health care, castrate him, bankrupt her, then say you can only fight me in court with money, and then make certain you don't have a job so you can't fight. And if you don't do anything, when that child gets older, they'll say, well, you had a neglectful, semi-literate parent.
He's our 450-year open enemy. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, sir, you go right ahead and give them the number. Give them the information.
She has a PayPal account. I'm going to it right now in my phone. That PayPal account and Lord knows folk want to call me at the wrong time. Just a moment. I'm reaching for it. And hold on one moment. The minute I mentioned that, my computer froze. I think I know the address, though. Let me try this. The P.O. Box for Sweet and Associates, because I'm not going to let this missing email drive me crazy. Sweet and Associates is P.O. Box 1178, Jackson, Mississippi, 39235, and I'm going to check that zip code. My computer is making me wait for this information suddenly. Minute I even think that they bother my phone. I can talk to Sister Aziza or someone, and all of a sudden, everything that's electronic starts going crazy. Here it is. Maggie Rhodes' PayPal account. If you go to PayPal, she's at MaggieRhodes47@yahoo.com. Let me spell it for you. Mac is M as in Mary, A, G, G, both G's as in girl, I as in ice, E as in Elizabeth, Rhodes is spelled R as in rainbow, H as in house, O as in orange, D as in David, E as in Elizabeth, S as in Sam, number 47@yahoo.com. And I believe my computer is going to behave now, and I'm going to confirm the address for the law firm, and then I can take every question that you bring. Actually, go ahead and bring the questions, because I don't want this thing to do this to me again. Each time I say I'm going to click it, then it pauses. Bring on the questions, and I'll cut across them once I get that window open.
Yes, sir. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir. Let me remind the listening audience, for those of you who are calling via telephone, please press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question or a comment that you want to share. For those of you who am I communicating with by chat, if you have a question, please type it in. We only have a couple of questions. The first question that we have for Dr. Short is, what is the condition of the son? I think that's what she's trying to say. What is the condition of the son, and what is the possible outcome? That's from Delian.
The boy is in stable condition but has constant infections because he urinates through a hole, which means the urine's going to spill into the wound. So each time he urinates, there's a chance that he will get an infection. So the mother, and they have to constantly work against him having infections. There have been swelling in the legs. He's had to be hospitalized regularly, sometimes multiple times during the week to fight infections. That could become gangrenous. We have no idea how there are different bacteria and things. We have no idea. And whether he survives this or not, he's got to grow up one day. If he's in school, imagine what's going to happen with him and the other children. If he ever falls in love once he gets older, how are you? That's going to be very frustrating to want to love, and you don't have it because it got taken. What kind of psychological challenges will he have? Imagine if the black man is told his penis personifies who he is, then who is he going to be in a worst-case scenario if he doesn't know that he's from the original people and that he's the builder of pyramids and all civilization? If he doesn't have that and he has a street identity as a man, he's not a person even in the street. God forbid what this racist, satanic society will think. So imagine what woman who wants to have pleasure with the man is going to want a man who doesn't have one. So he's got a very difficult life will become progressively more challenging the older he gets.
Hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we have a question from Valerie. Valerie wants to know, has this happened at this particular clinic before, or do they have a history of medical mishaps?
People need to listen closely to what I've said. That clinic won't even give the mother the paperwork for her own child that's been paid for, that's lawfully hers to have, and they can't sue them for it until they go through all the processes, which may be another 60 to 90 days. So if there's a period of discovery, you have to be able to get into the court to sue. Until you get to the point of suing, they're going to stonewall. So we won't be able to know unless other people come forward, and if they have money and they can buy off our people cheaply, because there's always a boot-licking sellout Benedict Arnold and Brutus-type Negro or Negress that a few coppers out of the hand of the devil seems to be a mountain of gold, then how easy would it be for someone to come forward? So we expect, we should not, we should wake up and realize that information is systematically hidden from us. I want to point out to the person that asked that question, most people, when they hear the Tuskegee experiment, they limit the experiment in their minds to 400 or no more than 600 black men. But in reality, the Tuskegee experiment started off with over 4,000 black people. And most people think the Tuskegee is just males, but I have evidence to show that Tuskegee included almost 400 black women that were experimented on with syphilis. And yet you thought you knew about Tuskegee, and even though it's in clear view, we aren't even aware of information that we are getting told, because the enemy can do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy, and that includes lying. So what we should do, we don't even care if it happened to anyone else. The fact that it happened to one of ours once is too many times. We need to come up in our morality and our sense of our worth, that we are even more extreme than the Zionist Jews, where our attitude is never again and not even one of us. Not how many of us should we do something. Damn it, it should never happen at all. Never. We don't care. And so the issue is not whether it happens. The issue is that it happened at all. The issue is it happened once, that some devil enslaved and brought us over here. Not how many times did they do it. We need to get to the point of being intolerant. Intolerance is the essence of a people that are vigilant for their freedom. Those, the most tolerant being on this earth is a slave, because he or she always has to say yes, or always has to look for reasons to justify why they're humiliated, exploited, raped, and abused, and so forth for their progeny.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's
people.
All the questions we have for right now.
All right. Thank you, Queen Aziz. All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Now, so, I mean, and what I wanted to get to is this, you know, just like you, and I agree with you 100% that it's not the fact, the fact that it happened at all is a tragedy. The fact that this could take place in this day and time and there not be, I'm going to just say it, retribution for this,
that's
you know,
right.
is a travesty.
That's
it's
right.
a travesty.
And if
I mean,
you see
because
the
here
white,
we have,
it's white folks protesting for this baby and not black people. Now, in a city where there's a monument for Nathan Bedford Forrest, white people fight for baby Ashton's penis and black folks are MIA. Am I in hell or am I in hell?
Come on. That's real. That's real. That's absolute. Well, I mean, this again, in what you're sharing, that bespeaks to the fact of just how dead we as a people are. Because there's no way that we shouldn't be out in force, not just protesting. I mean, honestly.
That's right. That's right.
How can this so-called clinic be allowed to even continue to operate?
How should any of them be allowed to operate? How could a Negro mayor or a Zionist congressman be allowed to walk free? This guy looked like a bald-headed Mr. Clean with glasses on. Never done one thing for any of us, and they all love him down there. Love him more than a crackhead loves drugs. His name is Cohen. Ira Stephen Cohen took a congressional seat from a black man so he could do even less than the crooked black man that he replaced. Now, let me tell you something about that Zionist congressman that they have. In the city of Memphis, if you hurt a dog or a cat, they have a $5,000 fund to help that animal. Maggie was put in the streets with her children. How could castration of a black baby, a prince of Africa, not be equal to a dog or a cat?
But again, it bears witness to the fact of where we are right now. Where we are right now, and again, there is no way that if we were alive, first of all, that it, as you said or stated earlier, that it could have taken place. And the fact that it has taken place, if we were alive, like you said, there's no way that any of them should be open. And before we do get off the air this evening, I do want you to share the information of exactly the name of this clinic and then, you know, what can be done and what is being done to ensure, because that's one of the things that I'm concerned with is how do we stop this from ever, ever happening again?
Well, and speaking, I'm on my system. I was able to get in at long last, had to reboot. Mm-hmm. I think I have the address, and I have some emails, and even the name. I have the photo of the devil up on my webpage so folks can find him if they can see him, you know, so they can see what he looks like. I want to quickly remind people that we can be angry for those who can't make a hostile call or send an outrageous email to these folks. Maggie needs your help. You can send her a contribution at Sweet, SWEET, and Associates. That's 1178 Jackson, Mississippi. I had the zip code wrong, forgive me. It's 39215. 39215. The office number, 601-965-8700. 601-965-8700. And again, that's P.O. Box 1178, Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. I have the address, and I even believe I can give you, let's start off with the congressman, because since he cares so much about animals, we need to let him know that we're more important than animals. Anybody that wants to call Congressman Ira Steve Cohen All they need to do is call this number, 202-225-3121. That's the Capital Operator. Ask the Capital Operator for Steve Cohen's office. Transfer you. Again, 202-225-3121. Ira, better known as Steve Cohen. Now, the gentleman who runs the Christ Community Health Services, his name is Rick Donlin. Rick Donlin, RICK.DONLON@gmail.com. That's Rick.Donlin@gmail.com. Send him some emails. But even better, let's move down to the clinic because I'm going to tell you where it is. We're going to keep all this information, keep this moving because we're tired. We're tired of this. We're sick of this. We're sick of people doing this to our women. We're sick of them doing things to our children. We're sick of them disrespecting our race. The address where Maggie's child was abused is 2953 Broad Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee. Phone number 901-271-6050. I repeat the entire address. 2953 Broad, B-R-O-A-D, Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee, 901-271-6050. We need people to tweet, to Instagram, to send this information. If you can go to Facebook, I have a page. It's called We Demand Justice for Ashton Rhodes. It's on Facebook. We have 735 members. We should have 750,000 members. We're not awake yet. I want everyone to go and to get the photos and pictures and films there. We can expose these people. The last thing I want to mention, I believe I don't have the number because I found that hard to get the number for the mayor of Memphis. But I believe if we go after the congressman, he has a much smaller staff. So we can call Congressman Cohen and make Congressman Cohen do something for people versus animals. Again, if you want, I can give you Cohen's direct office extension. I have that too. But the Capital Operator is always good. You can always get the Capital Operator to put you through. And so everybody needs to know that these people will serve and they will respond and they will be held accountable. And we will not let people do these things. There's one person that we should also go after. Her name is Chantel Leatherwood. Chantel is a black woman who's a practice administrator at the clinic. She called and told Maggie more or less to forget about what happened to her son. She was going to get the establishments closed down. If you want to write this sister, this female Judas Brutus and Benedicta Arnold, her email is Chantel, Chantelle.LeatherWood at christchs.org. Folk need to ask that sister, she dare tell a black mother not to seek help for her child. Precious to some of us. Not so critical that we tell people, I can understand her being selfish or her being concerned about her making her ends meet. But why would she tell this woman not to get help for her child? Just like the woman in the Bible that wanted the other woman's baby dead in Solomon, Solomon's books, Book of Kings. I've got a direct number for Congressman Cohen. One number is 202-225-3265. I repeat, 202-225-3265. And then his Memphis number, call this one too, 901-544-4131. Again, his Memphis number, 901-544-4131. Let us make these people pay attention and be accountable or get out of public life.
Absolutely. We have to take action. That's real. Thank you again, Dr. Short. Now,
well,
I want to know, I mean, because as I was researching this particular story, I noticed now this took place in August.
That's right.
Okay, so this took place in August. And now, aren't procedures of this nature normally performed at the hospital?
Sure they are.
Right, right. Okay. Now, from my understanding, as you were speaking of earlier, I mean, because I didn't even find out about this myself until maybe 2 weeks ago, and that was from a post on Facebook.
Well, all praises to God. I know for 2 weeks I've been putting that everywhere I could put it on Facebook.
Right. You know, and that's when I became aware of it. But, I mean, for this to have been taking place in August, I mean, where was the media at? I mean, why wasn't this reported? I mean, why was it, you know, why are we just now, many of us just now finding out about this?
Where was the media in 1619? Where was the media in 1856? Where was the media in 1896? Where was the media when Elijah Muhammad was arrested in December, January of 1942? Where was the media when they infiltrated and caused people to die in different black organizations? Where was the media for Herman Wallace? Where was the media for the genocide of the blacks in Libya? I mean, the media, they have their heads up the rectum of Satan. There's nothing use. They're the most wicked people because the media is controlled by fake Hebrews, wannabe original people. But they don't have the melanin and they don't have the spirituality. That's who's in the media. And that's the biggest problem we have, the people who are controlling perception. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see some of the highest things are the radio transmission towers, the microwave towers. You start thinking about it. What runs our minds, the high places in this society, the status-oriented places, are media and perception. Hollywood, Madison Avenue, controlled by Khazars. And Jesus himself described those people that followed the false, non-Turanic teachings, those who followed the pharisaical teachings as children of the devil. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was correct when he said people are devils. If you follow the devil's teachings, if you live like the devil, you act like a devil, you are the devil. You don't have to have horns. You don't have to have a tail. You don't have to be in hell to make other people live hell because you've got the devil inside of you.
Now, that's right. That's absolutely correct because that which we call devil or Satan is that activity which is absolutely 100% diametrically opposed to freedom, justice, and equality.
That's right.
It is the activity of individuals. Right. I mean, and just like what you just described, and even to this day, so many people still go for that fairy tale, you know, when you have, like I say, an open enemy right in our face doing everything they can to take us to hell with them, and if not to hell, to just literally wipe us off the planet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, sir. Well, now, I want to ask you, Dr. Short, when it comes to, you know, Sister Maggie Rose, and I know you gave us a description of her earlier, you know, up at the top of the show, with all the things that she's been going to, and then as it was reported earlier in the show, you know, that even now, because of the stress and strain on her, she's been in an accident. You know, and herself had to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, having, knowing her, as you know her, and knowing about this case, I mean, what is her demeanor like? I mean, her going through this.
It's like any situation. It's like Hagar and Ishmael. You having a situation at work, and then you're cast out into death, and you have to make it somehow, and everything that you knew or you could count on is gone. She, you have to understand, I need to repeat this, they set her up to look like she tried to kill her own child. If she didn't have the money, and by time they finished vilifying her, who would have wanted to represent her? She would have had one of those public misrepresenters. And, oh, just sign here. You'll only get 5 years. And it's 500 years. Well, why'd you sign it? Well, I didn't see the other two zeros. You must have had your hand on it. Come on now. How many brothers are in jail now because somebody gave each other a Masonic handshake and decided to send somebody down because they have stock and these boys, and they sure have stock in the people in prison, and the original stock's on Wall Street, which is Wall Street in Dutch, or Wall Strasse, where they sold African men and women. So we're right back in the same hellish slavery. Somebody probably stood something to gain. Somebody probably could get her children and take their organs out. This is the kind of wickedness that's happening right now. And we're asleep, and just because we have old Faga in the White House who hasn't done one thing for us, he had Gaddafi killed, he probably poisoned Chavez, I don't even think there's anything good about him. We think that we've made it because we have a person on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who can have a flag half-mast for Mandela but can't pardon Marcus Garvey, who did nothing but lift up our people, and we're trusting him. Or we're trusting these people like that little fat pedophile down in Texas called Reverend Hagee, and there's a black one, I won't call his name, that are telling everybody to be concerned about folks who kill people that look like you and I in Gaza and in Ramallah, and yet they can care nothing about people dying in West Side and South Side Chicago and everywhere else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to say something to the listening audience. I mean, y'all awful quiet out here tonight. You know, I mean, what's going on? Are we not concerned about that which is happening to our future? Because that's our future. You know, I would have expected people to be, these lines to be lit up to discuss this subject. I mean, again, our subject is the castration of baby Ashton. Young black baby, our future. They just outright took away his ability to reproduce himself. And as Dr. Short has shared with us, this is not an isolated incident. This is something that goes on constantly and repeatedly. So I'm looking to hear from somebody, Queen Aziza.
Yeah, I'm in the process of refreshing my screen because it froze. So,
yeah.
I don't have any questions right now, Brother Kareem. I think everybody is kind of like in awe. I mean, even my Google customers, my Google listeners are just commenting on, you know, it's a damn shame, and I'm, you know, I'm getting a lot of that and some other, how can I put it, some more expressive remarks that I can't repeat, you know, but all I'm getting is outrage.
I hope that they send that to Donlan. I hope they call. I hope y'all cuss out those Zionists in Cohen's office. Cuss them out everywhere you can. Call Donlan and call Sherelle Leatherwood. I hope that they're angry enough to make a phone call. I mean, don't threaten to bomb them so Homeland Security will come. But y'all need, you know, we cuss all the time. I mean, this is something they should be cussing about. And they have a number to direct.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting a lot of. I'm getting a lot of expression of anger and things of that nature. And the work on the phone, I just want to remind me.
I thank God that they're angry.
Hold on, Dr. Randy. I just want to remind the people who are on the phone that if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to do so by pressing 1 on your dial pad. And Brother Kareem and Dr. Short will, you know, hear you out, even if you don't have a question. But it's just a bunch of outrage, Brother Kareem, right now.
Okay. And yes, okay, we should be outraged. However, that's what I'm saying is, though, in that outrage, we have to turn even that energy into action.
Action,
into
that's right.
Effort. That is going to prevent this from happening again. I mean, at this point in time, there should be not a question on anyone's or in anyone's mind as to who our open enemy is. And the fact that separation is the only solution.
Separation with self-determination and sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
We had separation before, but we didn't have control. And separation not just from the devils, but separation from their slaves. I don't want to breathe the same air as a black neck trader. I don't want to eat off the same plate as a black person. Tell y'all a quick factoid. Most people do not know that the president, not the president, but the head of Tuskegee's Andrew Memorial Hospital, worked on behalf of giving other black people syphilis and not treating it for $1 a year for decades. I don't want to breathe the same air. I don't want to ride at the same part of the bus. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to live in a world with black people that will sell us out for a dollar. I don't care what it takes to be in a world separate from them. So I'm not just angry at a devil who's fighting to have a disproportionate amount of the world's wealth and power. I kind of respect the arrogance. It's the self-hating black neck that would want us to live in slums and live with rats and pigs and have bad food and know that life could be better, that hate all the rest of us and only care about racism when their child gets shot or they don't get some cushy job. I don't want to live under them. I don't want to live with them, and I don't want to do anything to have them around me. We need to be separate. It says, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and God would reclaim us. We got too many traitors, too many sellouts, too many handkerchief-headed Benedict Arnold-type Negroes out here, like the one that called this woman and told her not to care about her own baby. She's lucky. If I were a woman, I'd go there and beat her myself.
Now, that's the one who's running.
She doesn't run. She does the community relations. She's the Aunt Jemima, flipping pancakes for the man and trying to flip off us with her middle finger if we want decent medical care. That's a problem. That woman, if she really wanted to be rich, could walk out with a couple of files tonight and call sweet and come and give evidence and bring the whole thing down, and she'd never have to work for white folk again. But she probably likes getting pat on the behind because there are a whole lot of sisters who've lost themselves who like being a belly warmer and a wench as long as it's with the other people's men who don't even respect and won't even marry her
but it doesn't make a difference. You see them every day. They got blonde streaks in their hair. They got weaves on. They got hair dyed blonde like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or Malcolm X or Martin Luther King or Medgar Evers or Marcus Garvey or Fannie Lou Hamer or Harriet Tubman or Nat Turner never lived. I mean, are they crazy? And that's the struggle. There's not one black congresswoman that's supporting us on Depo Provera. I'll share something with you that's going to blow your mind, brother. A lot of folks look up to people like Mary McLeod Bethune, but they don't know Mary McLeod Bethune was good friends to Margaret Sanger. See, we have a lot of sisters that are traitors. See, I'm dealing with traitors. I don't care what's swinging between your legs. If you're not for the children of Africa being free and self-determining in their own space, you're an enemy. I don't care how good you look. I don't care how tight your thong fits. If your politics are wrong, your spirit's wrong, if you worship money and you worship the man, you're an enemy. I don't care how cute you are.
Sir, now, you just, it was something that you just mentioned with a D. Is it a drug or is it something that's being distributed?
Depo Provera?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've mentioned it on a program before. Depo Provera is the main drug pushed by Planned Parenthood, and it's probably pushed by Christ Community Health Services as well. It causes lupus, suicidal ideation, sterility, heart attack, stroke, ectopic pregnancy, maternal death. It makes you more likely to get AIDS. An animal test up to 8 times. For people, a minimum of 2 times as likely to get HIV, AIDS, chlamydia, or any other STD if you use Depo Provera. It can destroy your children. It can make your children retarded. It can give your children autism. It destroys your bones. It destroys a woman's body. It causes diabetes, and a woman can gain up to 100 pounds from taking this. And sometimes when people get an injection, they're never the same. They know that it kills. They know that it destroys. And black women are using almost 90% of the drug in this country. In Israel, they were using it to wipe out the black people. They were using 60-some-odd percent of the drug on less than 1% of the women in the country. The black population growth rate in Israel was cut by over 50% in 5 years. Depo Provera makes women violent. Depo Provera makes women depressed and want to kill themselves. What has that done to the black family? If you have a violent woman that won't sleep with you that's suicidal, you're going to leave. And the entire... all of the black women in the Congressional Black Caucus, even your congresswoman, Sheila Jackson Lee, has not stepped up to support this effort. I saw Sheila Jackson Lee last week. She could come and speak for the Filipinos, who are just a drop in the bucket of the number of people down in Houston. Yet for the thousands of women who have been sterilized and destroyed and have gotten AIDS behind Depo Provera, we estimate every year a minimum of 2 million black people die because of access and the use of Depo Provera, either causing AIDS or other health-related illnesses brought on by Depo Provera. And Sheila Jackson Lee and Barbara Lee and none of them, because they all get money from a white lesbian's organization. A woman named Ellen Malcolm formed a group called Emily's List. And to get money to be a black Democrat woman in Congress or in office, you have to support homosexuality, eugenics, and abortion, or you don't get funded. So that's why none of them will speak up for Ashton, because it's cut into their campaign money because a Planned Parenthood clinic financed his penis being cut off. I'm going to connect the dots this morning. Some of y'all need to call Sheila Jackson Lee and ask her. She has such a bad attitude about everything. Seems like she could get a bad attitude about this. She says she cares about how black women are treated. She says she cares. So y'all know her number. If you want, I'll go get that too. Or you can call the Capital operator at 202-225-3121 and say you need to talk to Sheila.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, since we're steadily moving forward here with our subject, I want to share something else. This comes from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad also. It's from the book, Message to the Black Man. It's on page 64. It's entitled, Birth Control Death Plan. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, for the lost found members of the tribe of Shabazz, the so-called Negroes, I warn you, my people, and especially the women, be aware of the tricks the devils are using to instill the idea of a false birth control in their clinics and hospitals. Sterilization is not birth control, but the end of all possibility to bear children.
That's right. That's right. And I need to emphasize the NAACP has not stepped up for Ashton, nor the Urban League, nor the National Action Network. I need to let everyone know that the NAACP is a partner with Planned Genocide. I need to let everyone know that the clinic, one of the first clinics to experiment on birth control and eugenics on black people for the Negro Project, was housed in the Urban League building in New York. I need to tell you that W.E.B. Du Bois used to write for Margaret Sanger alongside Nazis who killed black people in Germany. I need to tell you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, being perhaps one of the few pillars of truth about eugenics and genocide aimed against our people, if for no other reason that people should respect and esteem that man, it's his stance and his prescience. Without all the education and accolades these other fake Negroes have, he saw right through it. And most of these bourgeois Negroes today, these self-hating traitors, worthy of death, they can't even see what a man out of Georgia without a whole lot of education but a connection to God could see.
Come on, bro. That's right. That's real. That's real. As a matter of fact, anyone that's interested, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, now these DVDs or these messages are several years old. However, you should take a look into the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's series on Stop the Killing, as well as Justifiable Homicide, because this all is fits together. This is the time we're in. We don't have time to play. Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Since no one else is talking, I mean, it's just me and the doctor on the line, I want to get your input.
I know you don't. But we have a comment from Allison. Allison says that our politicians are not interested in our community. We never hold them accountable for anything. It is us in the community that have to be proactive. That was her comment. You know, Brother Kareem, I've had quite some time since Dr. Short brought this to my attention to absorb, you know, everything that has occurred. And like I said, I was previously on listen to a broadcast that Ms. Rose was on. And, yeah, you know, I'm kind of agreeing with Allison because, you know, we always want to look for somebody else to help us or whatever. But, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been telling us for quite some time, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, that there's going to be a time for separation. And so that separation is far exceeds black and white. You know,
mm-hmm.
It far exceeds that. So you're going to have the active, the proactive, and you're going to have the inactive. Well, they say faith without works is dead. So that means that if something is dead, then you can't grab or grasp any substance or life from it. And so as we have watched over generations of time, our people mutilated, maimed, killed, raped, slaughtered, whatever has happened, as we have sit back and we've watched and we've tolerated and we put up with, it's the time for separation now. You're going to have those who are going to continue to tolerate because they fear the white man, and even though they know he's the devil. And then they're going to have those that will rather die than submit to the will of the devil. Well, everyone who is willing to submit and everybody who wants to play politics and depend on the politician and keep running to the voters poll, then you get out the way because you're a hindrance more than you are a help. And personally, you know, I don't have time for it. I'm not going to play a political card or anything like that. But what I will say is that if we unify, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, that our unity is more powerful than anything. If we unify, and I'm not talking about with everybody, because the one thing I will agree with Al Sharpton, all your skin folks ain't your kin folks and all your color ain't your kind. So if you're not willing to be, if you're not willing to fight for what you believe in, if you ain't got no fight in you, get the hell out of the way. For those of us who will fight, who will die, who are not afraid, who fear nobody but Allah, fear no one but God Almighty himself, if, let us do what we're going to do, and the rest of y'all get the hell out the way. Because they have categorized us as all, even though we're not even unified on this front. And I'm not trying to condemn our people, but we have to tell the truth. There's going to be a great division. And while most people walk around here thinking that it's about black and white, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's about those who are going to stand up and fight and the other ones who are going to lay down and die. That's what it's about. It's about those who are going to work and those who are not going to work. That's what it's about. So, you know, we need to change our mindset. We need to see the value in ourselves. If we don't value ourselves, why do you think they keep doing this to us? Generation after generation, after generation, after generation. We still saying and preaching and screaming about the same thing. It's because we have not stood up and said no more. It's because we have laid down and taken all the malarkey, all the bull off of every other race. They come into our communities, they take our resources, our dollar stays in our community for what, 6 hours or less? Everybody can thrive in our community but us, and we still not tired. But it's so much easier to go to the white man and beg food stamps and beg for whatever else we need rather than get up and do for ourselves. So now when it becomes a miscarriage of justice, everybody wants their case to be heard, and everybody wants to scream and cry and, you know, I was about to say something else, woo, oh, Allah, about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're not willing to fight for anything. So I just want to encourage the listening audience to, you know, if for nothing else, baby Ashton is just that. He's a baby. And only his mom is waging this battle for him.
That's right.
So I'm saying let's unify in the name of brotherhood and sisterhood and help this mother just like you would want someone to advocate and help your child. And then don't just stop there. We can't all do, I mean, you know, if one of, not one of us can do everything, but if each of us would be proactive, would pick up a cause and be proactive about it and create change, then we can change the world. We can change the world.
Yes,
if we would just give a damn.
That's right.
And that's all I got to say before I say something. I ain't got no business, so.
Well, my brother and sister.
Thank you.
I believe you're doing something. Every
every person that raises their voice, if you know anything about the universe, it's a science of sound. Every voice raised in protest and in action influences the universe, okay? We know this. We know this from the drums. We know this from the birds. We know this. And so when you raise your voice, Sister Ziza, and my brother, and the other people, it makes a difference. I learned about this months after it happened, but when I heard it, my response was, oh, hell no. I'm not employed. I don't have a lot of money. I'm broke. But I can't accept genocide against the young. I can't accept our women being outraged. I can't accept it. I'm prepared to die before I live like watching stuff like this. I can't live like this. And I don't want to die. I'm not interested in living a short period of time. But, you know, we have to be willing to give up something like this sister said, and it has to come home. So when I found out about this, I got involved. That there are people out there who want to be part of a committee, a vigilance committee, then you need to write Sister Ziza and put up an email, because there are many, many fights. We've got fights with the organs being taken from our children and young men and women. We've got fights where they're killing our seniors. I've got folks where the state is taking children from black families and giving it to other people illegally. I'm one person. If I had four or five people like me, we'd be terrorizing the country. We're hearing this story right now because a person like me who can barely pay to keep their phone on loves my people. I get very concerned about Negroes with jobs, income, housing, and they can't risk or sacrifice anything for group survival. They're waiting to be next. I don't want to be next. I don't want anyone to be next. My attitude is this talk that all these Negroes have, we need to be like the Jews, and my attitude is, then damn it, be like the Jews. Their attitude is never again when they're in the wrong. Why can't we have the attitude never again when we're righteous anyway? What's so difficult about that?
Yes, that's right.
And I'm going to work with anybody. Folk complain about me work with Muslims. Tell my family came from Muslims. What do you think we were when they brought us over here? It's my business. If you believe in Jesus, you don't care about poor people. What part of going to hell don't you know? I'm telling all the Christians out there, you're going to burn in hell if you're giving your money to T.D. Jakes and these other people and you let this thing happen to this woman and her baby. Says the word of God. If the Bible is the authoritative word of God, especially King James, even though he was a faggot with three boyfriends, I said it. If you can go by that book and it talks about how you're supposed to look out for your neighbors and for the young and for the widows and for orphans, this isn't a request. It's an obligation before God that you fight against injustice. We have a jihad too. What the hell does Christian soldier mean? It doesn't mean Christian punk, sissy, or faggot. It means stand up and fight. Forgive me, I'm getting mad.
No, that's all right. I mean, that's fine. We should be angry about this, enraged. And if you would, share that information again for the financial support of Miss Maggie Rhodes and Baby Ashton.
Yes. The best address is the P.O. Box, 1178 Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. And the name of the company is Sweet and Associates. But you should make the check out to Maggie Rhodes or send a money order. You need to understand that the lawyer is working pro bono, not one dime. I'm working pro bono, not one dime. So this is for the baby. This is for our black babies. My father used to ask, how much was a black baby worth? And I've reached a conclusion to a lot of us, not much, but I'm going to change the standard if I have to do it myself. This can't happen anymore. When you sin, and I'm not begging you, I'm not begging for Maggie and I'm not begging for Ashton, I'm trying to relieve you of some of the reparational burden
that's on your back as a black man or woman, or a chosen lost tribe of Shabazz man or woman, or however you classify yourself as a Nubian or a Hamite or a Moor, of what we must do for each other to keep these devils from picking us off one at a time. I ain't too proud to beg you, because I've seen the boy's missing penis, and it makes me so angry. If you saw my face, I look like I'm going to kill someone. So I don't mind begging for justice to a brother or a sister. I will never beg the devils. I'll never beg a black neck traitor, a Benedict Arnold, Judas type Negro for anything. In fact, the only thing I owe them is an ass whooping.
Joey.
Please help them. 1178 P.O. Box, 1178 Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. Maggie Rhodes, Rhodes, R-H-O-D-D-E-S. Please help her. Please help her. There are others. I lived in Tennessee. I can tell you. I know there are more. I know it's not just this one. It can't be. The way that they've all lined up, this woman has two children that could die. They won't even receive them. We're coming up on Christmas where there was no room in the inn for baby Jesus, but there's no hospital room for Ashton and his sister, because they're black and because this country is wicked and it's on the edge of its complete destruction under the weight of its genocide, slavery, and atheistic, Zionistic pigs that run this country. They're running it in the ground, and they want to take us all with it and kill us because we're the only thing good that's ever been here.
Thank you. Thank you again for that information. Again, I also want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question or comment, please press 1 on your dial pad so that we can get your input. If you're in the chat room, type in your question or comment. We will share it. We'll make sure it gets answered. And Queen Aziza, is there anyone?
Yes, I'm sorry. There's a question from Brother Lee. Brother Lee asks, what are they going to do about his future progress?
Sister, they're ready to sue, but they've got to go through all this satanic red tape because of the tort reform.
Well, I think he's talking about on the medical side, Dr. Randy.
I don't think that there's an immediate answer. The penis is gone. It's not like a fingernail or hair that grows back. I mean, in fact, if that were the case, white men wouldn't be so jealous of black men. So I don't have an immediate answer of how they do that. Maybe there's something experimental. But even that will require huge sums of money. And, of course, people want to fight for that, but understand, sister and brother, that they have limits on how much money people can sue for. So it's going to take a whole lot of elaborate work. And the only way that we can really change this to get a situation where this boy can have the White House steps if he needs it to come up as normally as he can under circumstances will require us unified as a community to say, screw the laws. We want justice, and we want it the way we want it now, like a free and sovereign people. Notice how Jews up in New York, similar issue. They do something called Mesitza Bepe, where they suck the penis of circumcised boys, they suck the blood off. There have been several children this year to die from herpes because a whole bunch of the Mohel rabbis are sissies. The mayor of New York, Bloomberg, who's outgoing, told him he wasn't going to let them suck the little baby penis anymore. The Jewish community is unified to make Bloomberg realize he can't be mayor. And they got this fake Italian, de Blasio, who's a Jew, with his quasi-black wife and kids who aren't even his, faked everyone into thinking he was an Italian down with black people. And I told people up in New York when I went there, because I told you about this, Sister Aziza, that the reason that he got to be mayor of New York City is he agreed with no restraints on them sucking the blood off of boys' penises when they're 8 days old. And that's amazing. The laws, they'll violate the law for what Jewish people think is rightfully theirs. I wouldn't want to do it to a baby, but I like their attitude that they want what they want because they want it. When are we going to be like that? I want this boy repaired, healed, his mother restituted. I don't give a damn about the law. I want it anyway. In fact, you know what law is? Whatever the white man pulls out of his behind to hold the black man down. That's what law is.
That's right. Say it again. That's real. That is what their law is. Be to a lot. All right, any more questions, any more comments?
No, not anything I can repeat.
As long as they're not mad at me, I'm thankful. I hope they're not mad at me. I'm just trying to be real. This thing has upset me. I mean, they killed my friend in Mexico. They doing all this stuff all over, shooting people, raping people, putting sisters in jail for shooting guns in the air, shooting boys in the face down in Texas. I heard about that. Shooting kids everywhere. And now they're cutting penises off. And it's a Chinese woman. She probably doesn't even have a license, y'all. So they send the quacks and the freaks who they don't even check to hack up our women and our babies. And we're letting them do it. I say this woman that did this should be deported. Her family should be deported. Maybe they should be making Disneyland toys instead of cutting the penises off of our children. That's how I feel.
Oh, my.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, I have to be careful about what I say myself.
Yeah, I mean, the people in the chat room are just, like, going off, and let me just say this to all the to all of my Google and Yahoo followers, I did not know you all had such mouths. But let me just say, I understand your passion. However, and I appreciate you sharing those explicit expressions with me. However, let us use that energy to help this mother. Let us use that energy to right the wrongs amongst ourselves and in our community and in our nation. We are a very intelligent people, and it's okay to be passionate, and it's okay to be proactive, but to be reactionary is what we call a waste of energy or frivolous energy. We need to always be this passionate about anything that is an injustice in our communities. And I appreciate you all sitting here 2 hours listening to us every time that you do. But know with a surety that our point on every show, not just this broadcast, is for us to be able to walk away with information, and if it's negative, turn it into a positive. And if it's positive, then build on it. That is the mission of Nation Building Movement. That's the purpose behind Nation Building Movement. And that's the reason why we share this information with you, so that you can go out. And if not this situation, any situation similar in your community, in your family, in your house, fix it. You have the power. Black people are God. We have the power. It's only us that's going to make us better. Nobody else is going to make us better. No elected official is going to make us better. You know, no congressman, no mayor. It's us and Allah God to make us better. So it's my prayer that with all of that anger, all that energy, that you take it and do something positive with it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's all I want to say, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. And I think someone has their hand up. Area code 813, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
This is Sophia Tira.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm on the verge of, I got on the show late. It's taken everything in me. To keep it together.
That's okay, Queen.
Take your time.
Can you give me the address again, please?
Yes, Dr. Randy?
Yes. Yes. Sister, it's all right. I think that it is a healthy thing for us to reach a point where we make a decision that we're not going to accept the unacceptable. And if you've reached that point, it's a blessed moment. And I reached that several days ago. And I want to say to you that you have the power within you. I don't know where the 813 area code is. Could you tell me where you're in Tampa. There are many things in Tampa that need to be better. The rural people are over there doing what they can do. I know folk all over Florida. My family, my great-grandfather had to flee to Tampa from a lynch mob, so I know it's tough. But there is something that you can do that will bring an outlet that's positive in this case or others. And you know Queen and you know this brother. And we need each other. The reason I reach out to Queen, I call her constantly. She can tell you her husband probably will come kill me because he thinks I'm trying to cheat. And the reason I call her is
married,
I get
Dr. Randy.
Oh, good. We got to talk or something. But whoever it is, this man's gonna kill me. This man's gonna kill me because I call her so much, and I call her late at night. So, but I call her because I get so much strength and reassurance. And it feels good as a black man to have a black woman just like you, because I meet all day long here in D.C. Everybody wants to be white, or everybody, all the women want to be men. So, sister, I'm happy to know there's someone else that's feeling. What's going on out here says that there's God inside of you and a God crying out to be revealed in acts that make good sense, that are merciful and restorative to our people to put us back. And I need to assure you, I feel your tears as one of my queens, and I don't have much other than my faith in God, but I'm going to do what I can do to put you and Sister Ziza and all the other sisters and Maggie on the throne of righteousness and beauty that our sisters belong. So help me, God, whether it kills me, whether the other sisters don't like it or not, we're going to stand up and protect our women. And I want to say to you, you're worth it. The fact that you had to cry has outraged me even more, sister, that because I don't want another mother to be hurt, okay? My great-grandmother was experimented on. My grandmother was experimented on. They tried to experiment on my mother when she's carrying me. They experimented on two of my uncles. I feel for Maggie, and I feel for you. And I have friends down in Tampa, and I have friends down in Daytona. And I come from the Seminole people, and my great-great-grandmother was enslaved in Florida and sold in Georgia. So I can feel you even though I'm in D.C., we need to come together because it used to say in the song, move on up a little higher. If we came together, every day would be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye if we were unified in righteous purpose. So you called the right place,
at the right time. And all I can say is I wish everybody had tears of determination that we're going to be all of who we are, that we've always been, and nobody and nothing, no devil, no sellout, no pig-eating, collard green-eating, pedophile, faggot preacher, or any of them will stop us from getting back to where we need to be. So you cry, because it's going to steal some of the brothers hearing that our sisters who've been unprotected, there should have been a man that walked in that clinic with her, should have been somebody, because that child has a father, and he hasn't been doing much. Men, we have to man up. It's bigger than dropping a seed. It's bigger than the equipment that God gave us. It's about being there from conception until that kid goes to college or goes to trade school or, God bless him, is building a new nation in Africa for us to resettle in. That's what manhood is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right.
And, you know, Brother Dr. Rand is such a powerful preacher, but Brother Kareem and Sister Yatira. By the way, Dr. Rand, Sister Yatira is the host of Young Gifted and Black on Saturday, but you know who he's related to. He is the distant cousin of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I just had to throw that out there, Dr. Rand, so we can understand the root of all that good teaching. But give us the address one more time before we go.
It's 1178, P.O. Box 1178. Jackson, Mississippi, 39215.
And this is care of Dennis C. Sweets, or is it Sweets and Associates?
You, if you did either, he'll get it.
Okay, what
and
is the care of Lisa?
Of, you can say attorney, ATTY Dennis Sweet.
And just make sure you say it's for Maggie Rose, and her name is Maggie. The last name is Rhodes. That is the mother of baby Ashton.
And I want you to know, sister, all of us that have some God, we're crying out for liberation, for restoration, for us to be in our appointed place as the pinnacle of humanity and not the rug or the doormat of late wannabe ex-cave dwellers.
I wish I could say more, fam. My emotions won't let me.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and participating. Just your presence.
Tell her. I feel motivated. I feel like doing more than what I've done before. We need our women to push us, make us pull our pants up, make us get a haircut, make us put the weed away, make us stop running after cave women who look like Bob Big Boy fell out of dumpster. You keep your head up, all right? You keep being a righteous black woman. I thank you. Keep being a woman. Maybe we'll stop running after boys like they're women. No man can make you a man a father. All I can do is give him AIDS and make him wear Pampers when he's old.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Woo. All right. Okay, well, if there are no more questions, I'm going to give the lineup for the week. Join us tomorrow, of course, for part three of Brother Jihad Out on the Front Line. He is doing a series on the indigenous Native Americans and called Healing the Nation. Join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central, for that. On Wednesday, join DJ Black Caesar and friends at 7 p.m. Central for our hip-hop comedy show. And on Thursday, I will be here with Student Minister Robert Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Brother Kamal Muhammad, and Brother Julius Muhammad and Student Minister Troy Muhammad, and we're going to talk about rebuilding Mecca and how we can possibly tap into some opportunities of land acquisition in Detroit. And, of course, Brother Troy is going to bring us abreast to what we can look forward to this Savior's Day. So that's Thursday at 8 p.m. And on Friday, Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa will be here with us with our live study group at 8 p.m. And on Saturday, we're going to have Young Gifted and Black hosted by our dear queen here who just came on the phone and blew it up. Cecilia Tira. And that's at 8 p.m. Central. And, of course, 6:30 p.m., No Romance with Our Finance with Brother Vernon out of Columbia, Maryland. And next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem Muhammad. And are you going to give us a sneak peek?
Oh, well, yes, ma'am. I mean, you know, we preempted what we were going to do, you know, because we needed to deal with this vital issue concerning Baby Ashton and Sister Maggie Rose. You know, and what we're going to do next Monday, inshallah, like I say, that's a statement, not a question. We're going to deal with transformers, hypocrites in disguise. That's our topic.
Okay. And I just want everybody, you know, even if you don't have anything to give, because we know that money is tight, you know, please pray for this sister. Pray for her ailing children. Pray for her. For all of you who may not have been here in the beginning of the broadcast, Sister Maggie Rose was supposed to be on herself. Unfortunately, she was in a car accident about 30 minutes prior to airtime. And from what I understand from her attorney, she has a broken arm. I don't know the condition of the children, but what I understand that the children were also in the vehicle with her. And the last report we received from the attorneys that she was on her way to the hospital via ambulance. So if I could tell you that this family is burdened down with sorrow and tragedy, for whatever reason it may be, we're going to pray her strength. But please, if you don't have and you know, the minister says, you know, we can give a nickel a day to the economic blueprint. So if you could send this sister $5, $10, whatever it is, along with your prayers, because that is what is going to suffice her. Please pray for her, and please pray for her babies. And she is enduring a lot. We as black women, we are always in the position where we have to endure a lot. But I'm just feeling her. And, you know, I don't know how much more she could take, but Allah is sufficient for all of us. So just be generous with your prayers and give what you can out of your pocket. And any last words, Brother Kareem or Dr. Randy?
Well, I want y'all to pray for her, for me, because I'm doing PR. And, you know, a lot of folks don't want to deal with this because this is challenging the medical industrial complex, which is designed to kill our people. And pray for Attorney Sweet. He's under a lot of pressure. This is very dangerous people who don't want us to do this. So you need to pray for us to be strong and to be protected. Pray that some folks who are in positions in media get this story out. And I ask everyone who has Facebook or WeChat or Viber or Instagram or any social media or LinkedIn to go to put up everything you can on Baby Ashton, because we can stop this. We are so powerful. Until they don't fight us, they have to convince us we have no power. They don't want to fight us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, again, I want to thank everybody who joined us for this tragic but vital subject. I want to thank you, Dr. Minister Randy Short, for joining us. Thank you, Sister Yatira. And, like, again, everyone that joined us, I will just say briefly, bottom line is, yes, they need our prayers, definitely, because I know whatever I can send, I'm going to send to help our sister, because anybody that knows me knows that's what I'm about. Talk is cheap, as they say. Talk is good, but we need practical application. We need action to help one another. The other thing I will say is that a situation of this nature should not die out. It should be constantly publicized so that we understand and can see that this is our open enemy and they are out to 100% destroy us. Please, please, do not let this die out. This be something that, oh, it was, you were angry tonight, but tomorrow it was just a will-o'-the-wisp, as they used to say when I was little. You know, it means nothing. So, again, I thank everyone that has been here. I thank you, Queen Aziza, for the opportunity to serve. As always, the thought is the act is the fact. We either participate or we will all dissipate. I leave you all as I came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.